Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. I am delighted to have you here with me. Before I jump into this week's LM life lesson, I wanted to very quickly remind you that I am taking a group of very special women on my first Step Into You retreat in October of this year. So the spots are already filling up quite quickly. So if you are interested, check out, either jump to my website or I'll pop a link in my show notes. And yeah, if you feel like just laying down your load for 4 days and three nights and being totally looked after by me, our amazing spirituality guru, Claire Obeid, and our private chef, Sophia, in divine nature in the Noosa hinterland, you know where to go. So check out the link in my show notes or jump to my website and just get in touch with me. Of course, as always, if you've got any questions at all about it. So on to this week's life lesson. And to be very honest, I hadn't initially included this in this season as on the plan for this season. And I was on my monthly group mentoring session with my LM Love Club the other night. And I found myself talking about this topic again. I just realized how many times I have noticed, particularly with women, that self-talk is such an issue. And I realized that it's something that I definitely need to address as part of this season. And I guess my biggest problem with self-talk, and negative, of course, self-talk specifically, is that it's so insidious. No one knows how we're talking to ourselves in our own heads. And I feel, because I'm so tuned into the language that someone is using, that I'm starting to really, not starting, but I've seen it for a number of years now in this business, when, you know, my soul on fire, my mentoring, speaking and writing. When I do my workshops, I'm on sessions with my LM Love Club, I'm working one-on-one with mentees or people I'm working with in my programs, and I get little clues from the language they're using with me and with the group on how they're actually speaking to themselves in their own head. And I can tell you, sometimes it is very not pretty. And as I said, that's what worries me, is that it's so insidious. So we can be walking down the road looking totally normal and be absolutely brutalizing ourselves with how we're speaking to ourselves in our own head. And we can be so cruel, we can be so obnoxious and hurtful to ourselves, and no one needs to know about it. So figuring out that my own self-talk was getting in my way has been a massive life lesson for me over the last few years. So as I said, that's why I'm really excited. It's funny doing things like my LM Love Club, because that's almost my focus group on Instagram and this podcast as well, is that I realize the things that I talk about a lot and that would probably be useful for other people in my community as well. So what I have learned is that we need to be so mindful of how we are speaking to ourselves. So monitoring it and then also upgrading how we speak to ourselves. And it's been an exercise for me over the last few years. So as much as possible, I try to be my own best coach in my own head. And I do believe it's an element of why I guess can take steps that maybe for others they may look too scary or too ambitious to do. I think it's because I'm coaching myself the whole time, and I will do this out loud. Lexi was in the back of the car last week, I think it was. And what was I worried? There was something, I can't even tell you now, there was something I was worried about. And I gave myself a pep talk out loud while driving the car. And I will do that often. I did a speaking gig last Tuesday. I was asked to go and host the Entourage's reboot, which is their first digital summit. And I went in the day before, and the level of tech setup was so complex. I was, I walked out of there totally intimidated. And I really had to talk myself up to kind of get myself in a good zone that I would be confident to present to thousands of people live on a Zoom for, I mean, it wasn't the whole day, but emceeing, I was kind of on and off during the day. So, and I sat on the expert panel in the afternoon. So I gave myself lots of pep talks. I mean, even walking in, it was, we were doing it in an office building in the city, in Sydney City. And I was walking in, there was a lot of traffic noise. So I was yelling out to myself, giving myself the pep talk. No one could hear me, but I was doing it out loud as I walked into the building on that Tuesday morning to go in and present. So what I would love to do in this episode is to guide you through the practices that I use and also that I teach my mentees to, first of all, become more mindful of self-talk and then give it a massive, as I said, upgrade from there. So I'm going to take you through each of these episodes is slightly different. With this one, I'm actually treating it more like a step-by-step process. So I'm going to dive straight in. And the first step in improving our self-talk is to start to listen to yourself. Most of us do not do this. We accept that the crap our thinking mind is churning up day in, day out, that is fact, and it's not. So there's, you know, that whole idea of our mind and what it's saying is not the actual truth. It's a version of the truth. So step one to improving our self-talk is to take a beat to really, really hear how you're speaking to yourself. I like to describe it to my mentees as being a private investigator of their own thoughts. So tune into what's going on. Almost like if you were like a robot, you know, a robot in a cartoon, and then they let their little antenna pop up when they see something they're interested in. I want you to pop up your antenna to what is the self-talk that is going on day to day in your head, and being aware of that it is just self-talk. It's not fact. Second thing is to ask yourself, would I speak to myself like I would to, and you can insert names here, but my child, my best friend, my partner, my mom, my niece, my nephew, my colleague at work, my boss? And if the answer is no, then that's a pretty good indicator that you shouldn't be speaking like that to yourself. And I remember, God, this is like 2 years ago now, I hosted a workshop. I did a tour. I toured Get Remarkably Organized as a workshop. And I was doing the Melbourne event. I was hosting the Melbourne event. It was like 3 hours in the morning. And there was a lady who came along called Kylie. And at the time, she had two kids. She's got three kids now. And I asked everyone. So at the start of that workshop, the first step, I guess, that I guided people through was on self-talk. Because my whole point was that you will never be able to implement positive changes in your life if your self-talk is negative. Because every time you get somewhere, your self-talk will just tell you that you're shit again and you'll kind of be back to square one. So I was talking about self-talk, and what I asked people in the room to do was to write down in their notebook, or that they had a playbook for that event, write down in their playbook what the most negative thing that they tell themselves is. And I asked everyone to write it down, and I asked people to share. And I said to Kylie, what's the most negative thing? Like, what's your thing? And at the time, she was working full-time. She was studying part-time 2 evenings a week, and she was a mom of 2 kids. And her thing was, you are total failure and you are never going to pass your uni degree or master's or whatever it was she was doing, her university course or uni program. And when she said it, I feel like everyone in the room, there was maybe about 20, 25 people in that room, almost gave a little intake of breath, like, oh, and even just how she said it was so vicious, you know, so cruel to herself. And then I said to her, is that how you would speak to your eldest child? And she burst into tears, not burst into tears, but she welled up. And she said, no, I would never, ever, ever speak to them like that, ever. And I said, well, what does that tell you? And she kind of took a moment and she said that I need to be kinder to myself. And I said, yes, you do. You absolutely do. And I know that she went on and passed that uni program that she was doing. So we, you know, and Kylie is not unusual. We will all speak to ourselves in awful ways at one time or another. And the trick, I guess, is kind of back to step one, is to start to listen to yourself and be aware of how we're speaking to ourselves and then put it through the filter. Is this how I would speak? Is this how I would speak to someone who I care about? And let's hope we all care about ourselves. So yeah, that's not unusual. And it's just about, yeah, being more intentional and mindful about how we're speaking to ourselves. Step three is to remember that words have energy. And I sat down to record this episode and I said, oh, I need to look up that Japanese scientist's name. And I didn't look it up. So there's a Japanese scientist, and he believes that water has a structure. So individual water molecules have a structure. And he designed this experiment whereby he had one container of water. So two containers of water. One container of water, he said really positive things to all day long. Like, you're amazing, you're beautiful, you're the most incredible water I've ever seen, I love you, water, and so on. And then the second container of water, he said negative things to. Like, you are shit, you're never going to amend to anything, you're disgusting, you're horrible, water. And it got, even speaking like that, I can't believe how low my vibe went as soon as I started saying those negative words. Holy crap, that was a bit of a wake-up call. I'm underlining the purpose of my own podcast episode here as I'm recording. So this went on for a matter of weeks. And then what he did is he took the individual waters and he studied an example, like took like a sample of each from each container and studied them. And it is incredible. When you look at the structure of the water that was told positive things, it's beautiful and symmetrical. Like, it's beautiful. You look at it and it's beautiful. And then you look at the structure of the words that were being kind of subjected to negative talk, and they're just ugly, they're misshapen. You just look at them and go, ugh. And I would really recommend that you do look it up, the experiments that I'm talking about. So the whole point is that water is influenced by the language that we use. And if we think about our bodies, it varies between, 80 to 90%, it depends on kind of what scientists you listen to or what school of thought. We're 80 to 90% water. So if we think about ourselves as being water, and we think about, what language are we submitting ourselves to, then that's really going to tell us a lot about the effect that it might actually have on us. And actually, Danielle Laporte, who's a brilliant self-help, self-improvement influencer that I love to follow. I've done her desire mapping program. And when she kind of took a similar example. So she took her son and she cut her son in two. No, she took her son and enlisted him to get involved in this experiment because she wanted to show him the power of language. So they halved an apple, the very same apple, split it in two, put one half into one jar and the other half into another jar. And then each day they kept it in the corner of the kitchen, and every day they went past, they would say really nice things to one apple, one half apple. And then they would say horrible things to the second apple. So guys, I've just Googled this because it was annoying me that I didn't know the name. So the Japanese scientist and author is Masaru Emoto. I'll put a link in the show notes as well. And he was the guy who created these water experiments. And I mean, I'm just seeing little examples as I'm reading this, as I'm recording this, and like the ugly ones are so ugly. The beautiful ones look like flowers and stars. And yeah, really do check it out. So anyway, Danielle Laporte and her son went for, I think they did it for a month. They said really nice things to one half of the apple and horrible things to the second apple. Like, you're the ugliest apple I've ever seen. And then you're a beautiful apple to the other half. And what they found, and she posted the results, and it's really, really fascinating. The one that they had said nice things to looked untouched. It looked a little bit old, a tiny bit like browned, but it looked pretty, pretty good. Whereas the apple that they had said negative things to was moldy. It was like shrunken down. It was misshapen. It was really, really, really confronting. So if we think about the fact that language has such power, we can choose to use that language for ourselves, or we can choose to use it against us. And I mean, ideally, we want to use it for us. So what is the language we're using ourselves day to day? And if we think about it, that our own bodies are 80 to 90% water, what are our own water crystals? What are our own crystals looking like, I guess is what I'm asking you. And this is one reason that I am so conscious of positive language with Lexi, because, she's 80% water, and I want her to grow to be strong and symmetrical and energized and, all the great things. And so something that we do at bedtime now, her and I, is that when she's in bed and she's just before I kind of leave the room, is say, who's amazing? And she has to say, me. And who's kind? Me. And I tell her she's amazing all the time. And, I am not saying that I am the world's best parent by any stretch of the imagination. However, knowing what I know about the fact that, water can be so easily influenced by language, and knowing that she is the majority of her is made up of language, it has made me very, very conscious about, you know, saying really positive things to her, even if we're just sitting on the sofa watching Frozen together. And I'll say, "Lexi," and she'll say, "Yeah," and I'll go, "You're amazing," and she go, "Hmm." I mean, she doesn't even acknowledge it, but I feel on some level her cells are acknowledging it somewhere. So if there was, I mean, there's many, many reasons to improve our self-talk, but if one reason is to improve the kind of the health and the quality of our individual cells, well, I think that's a pretty good reason as well. So please remember words that have energy, and then we need to start to rewrite the script. So if, for example, you're telling yourself, "I'm so stupid, I made that mistake again at work," instead of saying that, it's like, "Oh, I'm learning. I made a mistake, but I'm learning and I won't make that mistake again." And this is what I mean about being our best coach. I feel so much with the work that I do with my mentees and my programs, it's just rewriting the script that people have come to believe is true. And we all live with certain scripts that we believe that they're carved in stone and that we will never change and we're stuck as we are. And I believe my role as a mentor with my mentees is to help them rewrite that script. So, and I just love this idea of upgrading our self-talk, because we can all do it. You know, we can all do it. The power is literally within us to upgrade ourselves in this sense. So upgrading, rewriting that script, rather than saying, and kind of goes back to when I talk about the importance of self-talk when I'm training people about getting organized, is rather than saying, "I'm really disorganized, I'm all over the place, I'll never be on top of things," it's, "I'm getting organized, I'm improving, I'm learning," or, "I'm way behind what any of my friends are doing," or, you know, we should have a house by now, or "I should have a successful business by now." It's, you know, I'm not way behind, I'm catching up. So think about, and hopefully you listening, you can hear the difference when I say one thing versus another. There's a big difference between saying "I'm stupid" than "I'm learning," or "I'm learning from my mistakes and I'm making less and less mistakes every day." And this is, again, where the self-leadership and self-coaching comes in. The other thing we can do, and this will depend on your comfort factor with this, is to get others to call you out on your language. And the reason that I am so hyper aware of this is that I've done so much mentoring and so much training and speaking and workshops and events and retreats now that I can spot it. So when someone else is speaking, I'm almost actively looking for what's their self-talk. Like, what clue is this giving me about the language that they're using in their own head? And I've got one particular person in my love club at the moment. And from the very, very first session, I spotted that her self-talk was really negative. And now it's a bit of a running joke now. I'll say, I won't say her name, but, you know, "Stop. What did you just say?" And she'll say, "Oh, I said this." And then it's like, we move on. So if you have someone in your life that you can ask to be, you know, if it's a best friend or a partner, or whoever you want it to be, a colleague, and saying, you know, I'm on this mission for the next week to really think about my self-talk, and I've listened to this podcast episode, and it's something I'm trying to do. Can you call me out when you see me saying something negative, specifically about myself? You know, obviously we can work on all the talk, but self-talk right now. And asking that person to call you out. So, and my mentees are so used to this. The people that I've worked with for months and years now, I'll kind of make a certain face at them as they're speaking, whether it's on Zoom or in real life. And they'll go, "Oh, I did it again." I'll go, "Yes, you did." And then they'll say it a different way, and then we'll move on. So if there is someone that you trust to be perceptive of this for you as well, I think that's a really, really great thing, to enlist a support crew in helping you to do that as well. So I feel with all of these LM life lessons, I could do whole episodes and programs on them, whole shows and programs on them. However, I hope that has given you some ideas around how to upgrade your self-talk. And I really do believe, I mean, I think all of these LM life lessons are important, but I think this one is probably one of the most critical of all, because we will never reach our goals ourselves if we are acting as our own biggest detractor rather than our biggest supporter. And the thing is, even if we do by some stroke of, you know, fortune manage to arrive at our goals, despite the horrible self-talk that we're inflicting on ourselves, it's so hard to enjoy them because our goals are telling us that we're still not good enough and there's the next thing we should be achieving and so on. So really think about how can you be more perceptive about your self-talk and use some of the action points that I've shared in this episode to help you do that. And I'm loving Mel Robbins at the moment. I'm having a big Mel Robbins moment. She's an author, speaker, trainer. I'm in the middle of one of her programs, online programs at the moment. And something she says, and she comes back to it time and time again, I think she's trying to drill it into us students doing her program. And she says that we can't change how we feel, but we can change what we think and what we do. She says what we think and what we do are choices. What we feel, you know, we're just naturally going to have certain emotions come up in response to something. However, what we think and what we do beyond that are a choice. And what I'm challenging you with here is to make a choice about what language you're using with yourself, because that will change how you think and it will change what you then go on to do as well. Okay, my dear, I'm going to sign off from this week's episode. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me. And I love getting your feedback, your ideas, your comments, what's working, what's not working. What else do you want to see coming up in the show for future seasons? Please do let me know, whether it's by email or on Insta DM. Insta DM is probably the easiest way if you're on Instagram. And remember that I'm taking a magical group of women to the Noosa hinterland in October. So on a 4-day, 3-night retreat, which is just going to be pure bliss. And I cannot wait already to be doing it. So as you're listening to this, I would imagine we'll be down to our last handful of spots. However, do please reach out, because I am looking at doing something else in 2021 as well. So even if you miss out this time, do just hit me up, get in touch so that I can let you know first about what's happening next year as well. Okay, thank you so much again for joining this week's episode, and looking forward to seeing you again next week. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.